Radio Ministry by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Just in case nobody or anybody doesn't know me, I'm Jaco. I'm in Swakopmund, involved there with the congregation there, and I do come and visit from time to time here. Maybe you've seen me before, maybe not, but hopefully we will have a word sometime after the service just so that I can at least get to know you a little bit better. Not that I will always remember the name, but it's so heartwarming just to see every time we get here that there's a different face, and it means that God is touching people, different people, goodness, continuously. Yeah, so I see Bertie, and they had a great illustration in the video about the men's camp, and they were talking about speakers, so the four international speakers, and yeah, you're right. Stephen is there this year. His colleague, Sapiwe, hopefully I pronounced that wrong. He's taking over from him. So he's going to share his testimony. And then we've got another Umi there, Johan Klaassen, that's also been, has been in more than 80 conferences, Daniel conferences in South Africa. That's going to, yeah. And then also James from Stellenbosch, that's going to lead our worship over that weekend. And then we've got, like he said, that nice carrot there, is that wort, the lamb there, the spit. So make sure that you book out that weekend. I'm so excited, and we'll be having a meeting tomorrow to talk about more practicalities. But I can tell you what, end of the last year when we were starting to book our speakers and the date, etc. One night I couldn't sleep. It was just when we reserved or we had confirmation from our speakers, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I just couldn't sleep about this men's camp. And I was so excited. And I could literally picture that, and I could see people, and I could see men that were bowing at the, kneeling at the altar, and just whose lives have been touched and salvations. And then I sensed God said to me, you know, just get up and go and pray. And I sat in my study and had one of the most intimate times, and I started writing down so much intimate things that I asked God, because God said, you've got to, now some of you don't know what's a checkbook, but it's almost like I sense God said, you've got to open checkbook, ask me what you want. You know, and there were specific faith goals that I asked God, you know, and I'm really trusting God that we will walk into that and see that in coming to fulfillment. So I'm going to encourage all men, please make sure, just using my moment of promotion here, but please make sure that you book out that weekend, that you will definitely not regret that. All right, guys, before I get into my message, I'm excited about that, to share that with you, but I think since the last year, you guys have just been such an, I'm so proud to see how this congregation managed to stand up during this time, and when Philip and Anna-Marie decided that they're moving back to Piketberg, that was for us, in a way, a shock as well, but you know what, sometimes God, you know, he's got his surprises for us as well, and you know, you got your plans, and you think, okay, this is the way it's going to play out, and sometimes it doesn't play out like that, but we sense that God is in this, and they've done a great job, and in their absence, I just want to thank them once again for what they've done, you know, reestablish the foundations. I remember the word that Philip said, you know, what he shared with me when he came here, and I can truly testify this morning that they've truly done what God has called them to do in this congregation. And since that, I've seen so many of you that stepped up to the plate and took ownership, and I think that's the one thing that I carry with me this morning when I look at this congregation and say, you know what, the guys stood up and they took ownership, even in this time when there's no person or no pastor there specifically or face here in the front. And so they left end of last year, as you know, you had a nice goodbye and farewell and all of that for them. And but even in the time, the last 6 months that he was coming in and out, I think it was just so great to hear all the good news of just the support they had. And let me get to the point. For us, it was as well a process of getting the right person to vindicate. I think, you know, when ministry doesn't work like that, you take your CV and you just apply for a job. It doesn't work. I mean, I think some people approach it like that, but we don't do it like that. We really want to make sure that God sends us the right person, or that God leads us to that person. And a couple of years ago, one of our guys, he started, and he came to me, and I remember that Sunday, it was at the Awaken conference, and I stood there, and I can still see the picture in front of my eyes, and as I was standing there, I heard the God say to me in my spirit, this couple is going into full-time ministry, but don't tell them. So I'm like, oh God, but how are they going to find out that they're going to, you know, how stupid we can be? And anyway, about a week after that, he came to me and he said to me, "Yes, Jaco, I just got the scripture and I sense that God is calling me into full-time ministry." And I realized, you're stupid, man. You could just allow God just to be God. You know, sometimes we want to run out there and just tell people, you know, I had this word from God. And it's great that we confirm those things. And that was just a confirmation. So I think you guys know them, or know him. JP and Marlise Archer has been involved in our congregation, been serving there. And long story short, the Lord led us. And as leaders, we felt unanimously, even up and our regional elders, that we want to send them later this year to you guys. Now, some of you have probably met them. I know JP was here around. We knew this for a while, but we wanted to run this process through. Obviously, on the technical side and practical, their children still in school, so they're finishing there. So if all goes well, we will release them at the end of April. Okay. So that means, what's it? February, March, and then half of April. Okay, I don't know if you're excited. I'm excited. I'm actually sad to let them go. I'm honest with you. Melise has been working in our church office, and she knows all the admin on that side, and JP has been involved in ministry as well, and young, passionate about the Lord. He just wants to run. So I'm going to ask you, just run behind him, just run next to him, support them as a couple. Next time when I come here, I'm going to try and see if his schedule is open, and we're just going to introduce him to the rest of the congregation. Are they at the back there? So his face might not be new to you, but we are really sad to let them go, but we're also excited for Windhoek's part to sow them. And we don't see that as a loss. We see that as somebody that we can sow into the kingdom. Yeah, so that is the plans forward. And then also, I'm still going to be involved here as well, obviously overseeing that and giving support to you guys and to JP. So at any given time, guys, please speak to us. And any time if you have concerns, even in the time between now and then, and if you have questions or whatever, please. And on that note, maybe I'm going to ask Powell and Michael just quickly to come here to the front. I think, you know, you don't necessarily want to single out people, because so many people just pull their weight and then giving their contribution. But we had to work out in a solution for this in-between. And these guys just manned up. And in the last few months and years, I've just seen how they've just stood up to the plate, you know, and just managed to do the thing and to carry that burden, you know. And there's a lot of stuff that we do not share here this morning about carrying that burden that we're trying to shift to our congregation, that God shows us that as leaders that we have to bear, but we have to bear it together. And in this case, they've done that so faithfully, and they're still doing it, even in the time to come, and even when JP and them and Marlise is going to be here, and I know you guys as well. So, Paul, Michael, I just want to honor you this morning for your faithfulness during this time, for your willingness, for your passion, for your zeal, for your fervency during this time, and that God will continue to reward you. You know, that a thank you feels so, I don't say inappropriate, but sometimes it feels falls short of what we would like to say and express our gratitude, but there's something that you did that only God can reward this morning. And Father, we thank you this morning. Let's just stretch out to them. We thank you for Paul. We thank you for Michael, Father. We thank you, Father, for their hearts dedicated to your kingdom, Father. We thank you, Father, that their eyes are fixed upon you. And Lord, that you will continue, Lord, to direct these steps in this year and years ahead, Father. That, Father, this is just the beginning of so much more, Father. The responsibility that you've placed upon them, Father, and where they've been found faithful, Father, that you will continue to increase, Lord, spiritual responsibility. Father, I see them as men, Father, responsible men out there in the marketplace, but Father, that you are increasing their territory in the spiritual area, Father, specifically, because their faithfulness in the marketplace, Lord, leads them to a place of a greater reward in the spiritual, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we pray your multiplication upon their lives, Father, that they will experience the abundance of Christ, Lord, as they continue to follow you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's just give him a hand for... Okay, Mike told me you've got lunch here, so I am allowed to take the time that you were supposed to drive from here to home to prepare the lunch. I don't know, how long does it take to prepare lunch? I won't. Some of us just go, oh, I hope it's not a long service. So, you know, I've got a three-hour sermon that I have to condense. No, relax. Okay. If I take my watch off, it wouldn't mean anything as well. So I'm going to try and let's not even say that, because that's terrible. But I've got something in my heart here this morning that I've been sharing for a while now. And it starts with come back to our theme. If you've been around here in Shofar, you will know that yearly we have this theme that we talk about and we try to pursue, and we go in that direction where we believe this is what God is saying to us, and we're trying to make sense of that. Now, end of last year at our convergence, the theme or the seed was planted, and you know, it's one of those things that you still ponder upon, and I think for a long while we'll still ponder and wrestle with God about the question, where is the love? Where is the love? The world speaks about love, and we speak about that in the church and say, you know what, you need the love of Christ, and you need, and we need to take out the love and love your brother and love him as yourself, and the world will know if you love one another that you are my disciples through the love that they see. So I think it's such an vast and such an, almost in a way, difficult topic that we had to try and break that down in our context. Because what we found as well is that God has created us so differently that all of us sitting here this morning would look at it totally different. If I have to ask Mike, what is love? And Mike would probably say, love means this. But Mike would look through that through his perspective, the way he's created, the way God has gifted us, you know. And we try to look at it through five different lenses. And the one is, the love is to go from the apostolic lens, which I'm going to start this morning and just say, you know, sometimes we need to break that ground. Sometimes we need to go into those first things and break that and initiate those things. And then some of us would say, yeah, and you've got a heart for souls. You say, love is to share the gospel. That means to go out there on missions, talk to the people out in the street and my colleagues. And then some of us are sitting here and they are teachers and they say, no. You don't understand. Love is to know the truth. You weren't able to talk about love if you don't know the truth, which is also the truth. And then some of the pastors that might sit here this morning would say, no, you know, it's great to share the gospel, but love is to care. We need to care for the people for the flock that come in, you know. And so, and some of you that are intercessors, tanidores, and so on, and the prophetic, some of us would say, but love is to speak the truth and to declare the truth. So hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we're going to cover it from different angles in helping us to discover moving to a fuller place in love with that. And I've got a coil here, spring fear in Afrikaans, and I think all of us know what you use this for, but if you pull this, it will normally go back to the same shape that it's made of, okay? And in many ways, it represents our spiritual journey as well. You know, because you pull it up to a certain place, leave it, and it goes back. And here's the thing. If you pull it beyond a certain place, which I don't think I'm able this morning to do with this one, then there's a place where it would move beyond a certain point that it cannot go back to the same shape. It is. Have you tried that? As a little boy, I've tried that with little ones. You pull it back too far, and then it doesn't look the same anymore. And you have to really try and get it. It's never the same again. But here's the thing. I honestly believe it's representing, it's saying something to us about our spiritual journey, you know. And in a way, it's just so nice you're having the Activation Sunday here, and people can have an opportunity this morning to discover more about church and to discover actually more about Christianity. And here's the thing. When we start walking with Jesus, this happens. I don't know about you. The moment I walk, that's it, boom, there's the first sign of that. But anyway, it's not comfortable sometimes because he starts stretching us. You know, I used to do things like that, but now that I'm with Christ, this starts happening. But the moment this starts happening, it's not always, sometimes it's painful actually. Sometimes it's not comfortable and we go, Oh, Lord, just leave it there. And we go back to the same place or space, or we look the same continuously. So we come for our Sunday or our Wednesday experience. It's great. And then just to that point that we don't want to take too much of a risk. Because, you know, if I go beyond that point, there's no place of return. So within my safe space, I determine how far I want to go. But if I allow Christ to take me beyond this place that he stretches me, there comes a certain place in my relationship that he will stretches me that I will never be the same again. And I guess that's the challenge for all of us, respectively, where that place is, that we can allow Him. You are today the result of the decision that you've made, and that you are the result of the yeses that you've gave to Christ. I'm going to say, ek weet nie of it in Engels, it cannot sound the same. Maar jy is die resultaat vanoggend van al die ja's wat jy vir Christus gegee het. Don't blame Christ, don't blame your church, just blame yourself. Because Christ always moves by invitation. Okay, and I'm going to hammer, maybe focus on that this morning. But I've got this story that I want to tell you this morning. We're going to get it from Scripture. That happened that day with the disciples. What happened is they had a normal day, church day, under the tree back then. Okay, sitting under the tree, and in Mark 4, you can read that. Actually, I covered that in a whole sermon at the beginning of this year called Let's Cross Over. But let me just condense that this morning to give you some background what happened there, because there's two stories that continue to flow into each other, and I'm going to focus on the second one this morning. But what happens that church, Christ gives them teaching, love is to know, and then He talks about all these kinds of truths. And then coming at the end of the day, Christ says to them, let's cross over to the other side. So they on this side of the lake, and they want to get to the other side of that. And at the end of the day, we'll come back to that. So what happens is Christ issues an invitation. Every time Christ issues an invitation, something happens. He leaves us with a choice. He didn't give them a command. Notice that. Because what would flow out of that invitation is very significant. If you read that, you can do that at home. Like I said, I'm sparing you the time just listening to the sermon there. But soon as Christ made that invitation, let's cross over to the other side. They had one group sitting under the tree. Now, I just want you to imagine that. Then Christ finished His sermon, and He says, let's cross over to the other side. The moment Christ issued that invitation, their life would have changed forever in the next 24 hours. But they didn't know that. All Christ said is, let's just cross over. A little bit of detail. Just enough for them to test them, to say, will you walk with me unconditionally to the other side? But as a result of that invitation, three groups formed. And I never saw it like that, but when I read that scripture again, like I said, you can read that in Mark 4. So what happened is, Christ says, we'll cross over to the other side, and three groups of people formed. The one group were the group that stayed behind. Okay? Because the Bible says some stayed behind. Now, I don't know what the excuses were. We can try and get it into our context of today. Maybe they said, oh, you know, it's a rough day at church. And I had enough hours of church. You know, some of you, if you've never been on a mission, please go up to the north or to some African countries, and you get into a six-hour service, and then you appreciate an hour and a half service again, you know. But anyway, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a long service. Maybe the kids are tired. Maybe they didn't eat, you know. Oh, we still have to prepare food. For some unknown reason, we are being told that they stay behind. Okay? And sometimes we seem to think that our excuses are not too bad, you know. I'm not going to mention all the excuses, because maybe you feel, you know, I step on your toes this morning. But I just sometimes, you know, I pray that. I say, God, open our ears to ourselves so that we can just hear the excuses that we offer you, that we put on the table. Oh, God, this is just so rough and so tough at the moment. I just can't at the moment. Anyway, just leave it there. They were not with Him. The second group that formed said they got into their boats, but they followed from a distance. From a distance. Hey, you know that song. Okay. But anyway, some of the younger generation, God is watching us. I think they said, we'll watch you from a distance. But here's the thing. Have you ever been to a party? And you think, you know what? I'm not going to get into his car. Let me just go in my own car, because when the party, or when I want to go, I'm independent. I can go, you know, at any given time. I don't know about you. I've got my space, I've got my keys, and I've got to decide whenever I want to go, you know. I propose to you this morning that group of people possibly thought, you know what, actually this wasn't too bad. Let's cross over, and whenever, I know this guy can be a bit intense, and it can be long a little bit, but just in case it gets too long and too late, and the kids are difficult, we'll get in our boat, and we'll come back, you know, our boat, and they, we like our safe space, we like being in control. So the Bible says they followed from a distance. And then they were obviously the group that were with Christ in the boat. And then the story continues that they enter on this, or they go on the lake, and then the storm comes up, and a lot of things happen there in the storm. But here's the thing, and I want to get to Scripture quickly, because our time is running out.
The moment those three groups formed, it set a type of believer, or set an example of the type of believer we would find in church, in world out there. They were those, because here's the thing, I'm going to fast forward the story. So the storm comes and they have the intensity of that storm. Imagine the people that were in the boat that were experiencing. Then you had those that afterwards heard about the storm. I heard, guys, that it was a great weekend. I heard it was a great men's camp. I heard that God just, I heard that people were touched on Sunday. I heard about what's happened to you. You see, that's the first kind of group you would always find. Oh, yeah, I heard about what God is doing in your life. I heard what God is doing there, you know, and it's great, but I. Then you have the guys there that they saw possibly the storm, but they were not in the middle of the storm. And you get them sometimes where we get closer to Christ and we get closer to that Kairos moment and closer to that experience, but we're not really serious if we're going to get into the middle of that because, you know what, it's a bit intense. And if I get to that place, that means it's, I have to surrender and it's going to ask something more. But actually, I'm a step closer. I actually saw that. And then you have those that were with Christ in the boat that are experienced. See, we get those that hear, those that see, and those that experience. And I tell you what, those that were in the boat, their version of the story would be different of those that sat under the tree. They will tell you that, you know, we were in the middle of the storm. And to crown it all, Christ was sleeping, and we were terrified, and we were afraid, and all of that. But we saw Christ coming through for us in a different level than the one that heard the story about how Christ came through. Some of us sit here this morning, you have a different testimony just because you've been in the storm than the guy that heard about the storm. And that's why Christ wants to take us sometimes through that, because that your story would differ. There's a different kind of word that come out of our lips and through our lips the moment that we've been through the storm. That we didn't, and it's great to testify about that and talk about what God has done for the other person and for the other storm, but we don't want to go through the storm because God just... So anyway, let's read some scripture. If you can turn with me, we've got it up here, Mark 5. So what happened is they've gone through the storm. Jesus calms the storm, and they got to the other side. Interesting story here. So they arrived at the other side, Mark 5, of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. And this is a very nice story. It's coming, it's very colorful. Interesting. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of God, of the Most High God? In this name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send him to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned into the water. The herdsmen fled into the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things that Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. Can I say, who read the story, who heard about the story? This is not new to you. Can I just, by the indication of hands, you've you've heard this story before. All of us, majority of us here. Okay. Here's the thing, and I want to make a statement this morning as I'm sharing on love is to go, because we're trying to answer this question of love is to go, because real love or the real Jesus, and I'm talking about the real Jesus because that's maybe a sermon for other day, and 2 Corinthians 11, which was part of the sermons where I had to condense about following the real Jesus. But the real love, as we journey with Christ, would take us sometimes and lead us to certain places. But here's the thing which I noticed in Scripture, is this, that I see a Jesus that is born, and then when Jesus grows up, I see Jesus in the marketplace, I see Jesus between people, I see Jesus on the mountain, I see Jesus down in the river, the Jordan River, I see Jesus in the synagogue, I see Jesus back in the marketplace, I see Jesus in the temple. The point I'm trying to make, that Jesus is continuously moving. And never did I see that Jesus was born, grew up, baptized, because that's the time when he was commissioned, and then Jesus went to church and come back, and went to work and come back, and went to church and come back. No, Jesus is all over, because Jesus is on a journey still to this day. You might say to me, he's up there, yes, but his Holy Spirit is still on a journey till this day. And if we're going to say to one another this morning that we're searching for real love, you better journey with Christ. Because some of us say, oh, well, I'm on a journey with Christ. Well, I'm going to say to you this morning, maybe, and I propose to you, maybe, just maybe, you're just going for a walk. Because there's a difference between being on a journey with Christ and just taking a walk to church and to some places. That's nice places to be around. Church is kind of a nice place. I love the people around. They're just so friendly. Just give you a nice hug. We drink coffee, talk about a lot of things, but I think there's a bit more to that than just coming to church and just experiencing what we're experiencing this morning. You see, when I say we're on a journey with Christ, it means that as a believer or as a person that's confessing Christ, that means I am making willfully, intentionally, spirit-led decisions pertaining the mission of Christ and the vision of Christ that leads to the vision. In other words, it's Christ's mission first, and then I allow the Holy Spirit to direct me in that direction. But some of us, sometimes we ask Christ to come with us on our mission. God, I'm in this direction. Please bless me. Please come with me, Jesus. There's space for you in my car, in the left seat there in the front. I like driving. I like being in my own boat, you know, going over to the other side. But when I feel like it, I will resign. I will move. I will marry to, and we can add to that, and. It's nice to be in control. I don't know about you. I love it. But it's not necessarily right. Right? Christ comes and invites us to hand over and say, can I be the one that takes the steering wheel? Don't you want to journey with me? But it's a decision or an invitation. Invitation. That's why we find two types of believers in church today. The ones that they enjoy the experience. They heard about that. It's great here. It's really great, but I'm on my mission, and Christ needs to bless that. And Lord, please don't not bless that, because then we're in trouble. And then you have those that journey with Christ, but the journey can be so exciting and so interesting. Because here's the thing, what happened is, Christ invites them to the other side. And interesting is, he invited them at the end of the day. They had a long day, that possibly a lot of reasons not to go. But he waits till the end of the day when you're a bit tired, when the flesh kicks in, when you can argue. And I found myself, and I'm trying to say that to myself continuously, never argue against the obedience of God or when God. Because arguing would take you out of reason, you or reason, every reason. Because reasoning sometimes takes us out of the will of God. If you think too much about it, there's valid reasons for us not to do certain things. And I guess Christ wanted to get into that place of just cross over. Little did they know what was waiting for them on that lake. You know, and all of us, maybe some of you have moved from other country, moved from other town, and little did you know if you're going to say yes to Christ, what's waiting on the other side. Because I just found that Christ gives us often so little bit of detail. Just enough for us just to test us to see, are you going to unconditionally obey me? Not the fine print. Okay, Lord, I'll go. Can we just sit down and have a bit of a discussion? Can we read the fine print? What will happen if this happens and if this doesn't come through? And are you going to back me up here? And Lord, if this, huh? I don't know, sometimes we just love that fine print, you know, the stuff that we do not read anyway in the contracts. That's so small in there. But the Christ invites them at the end of the day, when the sun sets, when they're in the dark, listen to this. It's one thing, and you guys know what a storm is, or you know rain. We don't know that in Swakop because we don't see that at all times. But here's the thing, when before I lived there, and there's something about a storm happening at night. I don't know about the day, but during the day, it's like you kind of see what's happening outside. You can see there's a lot of water, but at night when you hear the thunder and there's a storm, suddenly you're not in that comfortable place anymore. You wonder, when is the water going to come through? If you hear that long enough and you wonder, sure, man, this is... The rain is coming down, it's pouring down, this is rough. And Christ would take them from that place of the known to the unknown because of this one thing. He wants them to walk from sight into a place of faith. Because you can walk during the day, it's easy. I'm with you. But now Christ takes them on this boat through an invitation, takes them in the middle of the night, and then they're there in the darkness, and to crown it all, Christ takes a nap. Hey man, I don't know about you. But I've been through so many things when I'm in the middle of the storm and it feels like he's sleeping. I've been praying and he's not answering. God, where are you? Come on. Just answer my prayer. And God, just tell me you're still there for me. And God, just don't leave me on my own. I'm going to die. Oh, Jesus. You know, I don't know. We don't do those kind of prayers when you're in a storm. You don't, those holy prayers, almost want to say, those are highly theological. You just, help, Jesus, help. And he bongbastidas here, or maybe it's your health. I don't know what it might be, but you cry out to God, and it just seems like you're sleeping. Oh, your time. I don't know, God, what it. And here's the thing. Christ wants to move them to that place where they experience their own the turmoil of their own, emotions and all of that, to see what surfaces. Because any given time when we get into the storm, certain stuff surfaces. We're okay till the storm hits. Then suddenly we respond a certain way. And it's not that it wasn't there. It was actually there all the time. We just didn't know about it. Christ knew about it, but we didn't know about it. And Christ allows them to go through the storm. And here's the thing. When the storm hits our lives, and when we're being led on this journey with Christ, and we face this obstacle, we face this opposition, the first thing we do is start rebuking the devil. Satan, you're not part of this. Rebuke, leave me. And we just carry on. And I'm just saying this morning, maybe I said it in the past as well, that maybe, just maybe, God is in that storm. Jesus was in the storm. Jesus allowed that to take place. Because we want to rebuke the devil, and we want to rebuke every principality and power that allowed this to happen to me, because this cannot be happening to a Christian. God said, I'll always be happy, and I'll always be an abundant life, and this will never touch my finances, and it will never touch my health, and we'll never do all of those, and we proclaim that, and it doesn't happen. But here's the thing. Sometimes we're so quick to ask God just to take the storm away because we just want to move into that place of safety, and now we can just breathe again, and we are on still waters, and thank you, Jesus, you were with us, and now I'm not afraid anymore. Oh, Jesus, Christianity is just so great. But God wanted to teach them something in the middle of the storm, not after the storm. Jesus had to show them that he's got control over all of those things. And for us to learn the lesson and to discover more God's character, sometimes we have to go in the storm with him on the journey. In the middle of the storm, he needs to discover and reveal himself as the one. I tell you what, the guys that were with him in that boat that day had a different story to tell about the greatness of God than those that sat there on the other side, or those that were there from a distance. Because they were in the middle of that. They experienced that. They actually experienced the disappointment, if I can put it that way, of Jesus sleeping until Jesus came through. And I want to say to you this morning, if we're going to search for love, we better get onto his page, start journeying with him. But the story is becoming more interesting. Mark 5, where we picked it up, is so interesting. That they got into the boat. We saw they went through the storm. And now I want you to imagine that for a moment, what happened here. I don't know what the boats looked like. You know, being in Israel, you see the kinds of boats that they were using. But just imagine they had the boat and they were rowing. Row, row, the boat. They get to the other side. Now, listen, you can Google that. The area of the Gerasenes. I promise you, if you Google that, you'll see. Being there in Israel looks a little bit like our desert, you know. A lot of that looks like that. But it wasn't the white beaches of Mauritius waiting for them on the other side. Let's cross over. It wasn't a nice waiter with a pina colada Hey, welcome here, guys. I see you with Christ. Here's the thing. Christ led them through the night, through a storm, to a place that is actually just so, I'm going to say, there's nothing. And to crown it all, when they get to the other side. Now, just imagine, they've got the boat, they've got the disciples there with Jesus, and maybe they're tired, they didn't sleep a lot, you know. They're relieved that they, through the storm, they just experienced Christ, stretched them, and now we just want to get to the other side and just set foot on ground and just relax. The Bible says, this hooligan, I almost want to say, came running from this side, or which side. Imagine you see, you coming with a boat, and this guy comes running. And the Bible says he howled. And his daughters, huh? Imagine you be in the boat and you see somebody coming. Huh? Well, I don't know about you. I just go reverse. Reverse, Christ, we've got the wrong direction. I don't know why you brought us to this place. Huh? And he's screaming. He's naked. He's dirty. His hair's long and he's coming running towards you. I don't know. I'll just do. Mission aboard. Let's go back. And that's not what happened that day. Because Christ would take us sometimes to unwanted people. The other day, I'll tell you a story. I'm driving to school to pick up my kids, and as I'm driving down our street, I noticed my neighbor has got two safes. I still don't know. Safes. Are they word like safes? Not. Safe. Huh? Kom en help me. Waar is die Engelse mense hierso? Kluise. Twee kluise. Now, what's it? Okay, that's not the S on that one. Okay, anyway. They got two of them there. Now I'm driving down the street, but it's literally almost on the street in front of his garage at the end of his pavement. And I thought he's got a garage sale. Maybe he's trying to sell it. I thought I can do with a bigger one, you know, that allows me to justify why I should add another one into there. But anyway, so I drive past there, pick up the kids, and I come back. Forgot to stop there. And anyway, I had to do something else a couple of minutes later. So I drive down there again, and then I notice, oh, I forgot. I thought I'll just stop by and I'm just quickly going to ask him, are you selling these? So my bucky is still idling and I'm asking this guy and saying, yes, I'm the neighbor across the street. And by the way, are you selling this? And he says, no, I'm not selling this. And I'm asking, we're exchanging or asking a few questions. He says, no, he's from Windhoek. And am I being here for a while? I said, yes, I've been here for almost 7 years now. And he says to me, you know what? Other night they tried to break in. You wouldn't know, I got up there with my 357, I told them, I'm going to shoot you. But anyway, what happens is now we sit, I'm at the front at the garage door. What I didn't tell you is that there's this old car, the bonnet is open, you know, it's spanners and tools all everywhere, and a Tafellager, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, and the guy sits there and he's telling me the story. And this whole picture is of it, and that tells me about, he used all these words, and not beautiful words, and he's telling me how he's going to kill these people if they ever get into my, he's got these big dogs, and what will happen if he shoot them, do I know? And I'm thinking there, God, this is not my type, with all due respect. And I'm just being vulnerable here. And I think for myself, my bucky's still idling, mission abort, just mission abort. Before he asks me, what am I doing? Let me just get out of this. Let me just respect my safe space. You do your thing on the other side of the street, but I'm not mixing with you. And as I'm busy, almost considering where can I cut the conversation, and actually I haven't actually fully introduced myself, you know. I was actually just asking about the safe, so I'm dreading that he's going to ask me now. And I'm just trying to go back and just, thanks man, we'll see you again or so. I'm considering this mission impossible that's being aborted. I hear the Holy Spirit says to me, what if I want you to minister to him? Sure, man, I was uncomfortable there. I don't know about you. And I say it with all love and respect towards those people, of those people, and sounds like I placed that person in a category, but I think you would know that we sometimes move around people and we become comfortable in that circle and we relate to one another and we have certain interests and you know what, we like one another. And then he throws me in this end. Way that's totally not something I would identify with, the way I would communicate, the way I would mingle, the way I would social. All of that stuff is just so foreign to me let's not continue with that. In a way, God just takes me to that place and asks me, will you be okay to minister there? And I tell you what, I stood there and I thought, God, I don't know where to start. I've got absolutely no clue where to start. He took me on this journey to some unwanted people just across the street. Let's cross over, I guess. When Christ says to his disciples, let's cross over. But here's the thing. Whenever Christ is going to invite us to journey with Him, He's going to take us to some weird people. Some unwanted people. Unwanted people. Because this man came from among the graves. The Bible says He came from among the graves to the dead. In actual fact, God is going to lead us to, Jesus is going to lead us to those people, to those dead people out there that are just stinking. Actually, it's not nice to be seen around them sometimes, which Christ has often done. And I know that sounds obvious, but here's the thing. Christ continues to take us to those places because there's something about Christ that's just drawn to those people. When He sees them, nobody wants them. They're just an utter place of just desperation. He doesn't even need and realize Himself. You know what? I can tell this story. I couldn't tell this detail on that side. I'm afraid there's somebody in church that sit here and might know this guy. So I'm asking this guy, so what's your name? And he says to me, I know. Whenever you forget my name, just look in the toolbox. See Spanner? That's my name, Spanner. I thought, God, okay, I'll start praying for Spanner, my neighbor. But here's this guy on the other side that came running to Jesus. He's the guy that hurt other people. The Bible says that he chased other people around nakedly, and they couldn't bind him. He was a torment to other people. He ran with rage towards other people. The moment Jesus stepped on board, something happened. Instead of running with rage towards Jesus, he ran with reverence towards Jesus. Because any time we allow Christ just to totally transform us, we can step into great places, ordinary places, normal places. God will set the table. He'll create a platform. And people run to you. Say, you've got something. There's something that I need. You've got something more. They watch you more than they study you at work. You know what? For me as a pastor, sometimes it's difficult as well. You go around, and the other day, we went for a coffee. I took my little one to a party. My wife couldn't do that, so I took her. Normally, she does that, but anyway, I did that. And there's a lot of ladies there, so luckily there was another guy there, so we could chat. But the rest of us, we're sitting there around the table. And I think I made a joke about the coffee. I don't know what joke, but the next morning, I'm in church, and this lady comes to the front. She says to me, oh, Pastor, you wouldn't know what happened yesterday. My girl came to me, and she told me, you wouldn't know who came to drink coffee. And even joked about this and this. And I'm standing there. So, oh, thank you, toch. I didn't make a bad joke there. But people study you so much, you know. And there comes a day when they would run towards you if you express enough of the love of Christ. And this guy came, actually. And what's interesting, the one that just almost started or killed other people. Not so killed, we don't know. But hurt others because broken people continue to hurt other people. And that's why we need to do the healing course. That's why we need to go in those things so that we can continue to be formed. But what happens is he runs towards Christ. Christ sets him free. And he's a total different man. A couple of years ago, we were at one of our men's camps. And it was such a special moment. One of the guys that were invited there by one of our guys in our congregation, he really had an encounter with God. Now, he's never before in church. He's just rough and tough. He's just into our men's camp. And so through the course of the weekend, this guy comes to me and he says to me, yes, Yaku, man, I just want to thank you. And he taps me on the shoulder. He says, I can't give you the full version. But he says to me, I just want to thank you for this camp. This is an effing nice camp. I stood there and said, God, great. Forget about the word. This guy is just so real. Because sometimes the best words would come out of the worst mouths. Because this guy fall down on his knees and he says to Jesus, Elion, the Most High God, the one that actually were cursing and swearing, when he gets into the presence of Jesus, this unwanted guy is able to confess and cannot deny that Christ is real. And that I just experienced, you know, when we can get our friends into that place of just Christ, there's nothing that the world can do. You know, they cannot deny that Christ is real. What they do with that is, I almost want to say, that's up to them, but we need to take responsibility to get them to that place. And here's the last part of this. So we're saying to one another this morning, when we journey with Christ, or when we love and love is to go, that Christ will take us on a journey to unwanted people. But what happened as well on the day when we were gathered there is that ministry was quite interesting. The way Jesus did ministry. In actual fact, the other day, in Swakopmund, Dolphin Pharmacy burned down. Now, Swakop is still a small place. It's big, but not that big. You know, so I'm driving to town, and I see all this smoke. And when I get to town, I realize, okay, Dolphin Pharmacy is burning down. But not just that. I guess about 80% of the town is in the center of town. They're just watching how the fire brigade is working, and they're talking about, hey, man, Dolphin Pharmacy. Everybody's gathered. I didn't know that we had so many people in town. A whole commotion. Now, can I say to you or propose to you, I don't know about that day, but when 2,000 pigs, imagine that, 2,000 pigs. We've got on the farm a few, my brother's got a few of that. And whenever you, I don't know if you've picked up a little one, what they sound like, huh? Not going to try. Okay, not try and do that. But 2,000 of them running over the cliff, making all those noises. It's a bit of a chaos and it's a bit of a story to tell. Obviously, the financial and economic implication that has caused the rand has fallen. Zuma's nothing, man, or whoever. Let me not get into the politics and all of those things. But the effect of that, of the 2,000 pigs, but certainly they were talking about that. And the result of that, they came towards Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes in ministry, when we move out there, certain things are going to play out not the way we expected it to play out, the outcome. In this case, surely, among that group of people, there were a lot of moderate people. Nothing wrong with moderate people this morning, okay? If you're one of them, relax, I'm not going to pick on you. I'm just saying, I just thought about those moderate people. I probably thought about this. This man, Jesus, this man that came from the other side, got here with his guys here, and he upsets everything. And then to crown it all, he sends these... No, they didn't see the full picture. All these pigs down the hill. Couldn't he just be a bit more moderate and just calm down and just do it in a relaxed way and just leave? In actual fact, they approach Jesus and they ask him to leave. Because here's the thing. They didn't have any reference for what happened there. For this whole thing about deliverance and what took place there. And because of that, they ask him to leave. But here's the thing. Whenever we're moving out there, and the outcome sometimes is different than what we expected it to be. Don't be quick to judge. Don't be quick to make an opinion to say, you know what, this can't be from God. I don't think this is from God. Because the outcome is not validated by the fact that we have a reference for that or not. People step into our midst sometimes. I don't know if you've been for your first time when you hear people speaking in tongues. Oh man, these people are just so mad. What funny noises they make. They can't be from God. And so we can carry on and on and on. Sometimes we're not exposed to that. And the outcome and the result of darkness that meets light sometimes brings forth an specific, I won't say, outcome. And if we're not used to and not haven't got a reference for that, let's not be quick to judge that. And they ask Jesus to leave him, to leave that town. Jesus, or the man comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, can I go with you? And Jesus says, no, you stay behind and go and tell people. But there wasn't only an outcome. There was also a response to Jesus' ministry. Any given time when we're going to go out on a journey to unwanted people, there's going to be an outcome and there's going to be a response, which we don't have control over. And the response was obviously how these people responded, how this man responded, and all of that what happened. And, to make it even worse, they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, can you leave our place? Let me translate it to you in 2018 version. We'd rather be in the presence of the pigs than in the presence of you. Because we don't have any reference for this. If they could do that with the master, I'm going to say of the universe, that sounds a little bit He-Man, I don't know if you've seen it. Suddenly came to my mind, sorry. They could do that with the King of Kings and tell him in his face, just leave this place. We don't want you here. You're not welcome. Who are we this morning to throw in the towel after the first time that we tried? And that guy looked us in the face and say, you're in your kerk, you're in your church, you just want to get me to your church. You just want to get me with your God. And I sense God is saying to some of us here this morning, it's time that you get into the boat on the journey to those unwanted people so that I can lead you to that place. And I want to warn you in advance, most probably you're going to get an outcome that you didn't expect to see or to come. And the same with the response. But if we close down because we didn't like the response and the experience, I mean, Christ did that. But here's the thing, when the man comes back to Christ, he asked him to go with Christ, and Christ says to him, no, because there's another thing and another message about the no of Christ in our lives when Christ says no. And the Bible says that as a result of that man that went and they were touched, 10 towns heard. One man that was touched. Listen to me. One man that was impacted through a group of people that were willing to say, Lord Jesus, we're willing to take you on your will, on your word, unconditionally, according to your invitation. Let's cross over to the other side, go through a storm all night, being afraid to unwanted people that others wouldn't necessarily go, touch that one man. And the Bible says they crossed over to the other side of the lake, back there. If Jesus would do that for one man, through the night, through a storm, to the other side, to nobody that wants to meet with that man, touches him, and go back to the other side. Wasn't a very successful day in ministry, I don't know. They didn't get the faith goal of 200 people there, and salvations, and God has blessed us with so many salvations. How we only got one today. But God is continuing, and the result of that, 10 towns heard about one man. You don't know the power of one invitation into the presence of Christ. I'll tell you one more story and then I'll end there. A couple of years ago, you all know that I've told it many times, that we've been in England, that we've been to London, so I've been there for almost 8 years. And anyway, rewind the story to the beginning. When we were considering, we have three brothers, my youngest brother was still there. He was just enjoying himself, living in the world, just going for it big time. So myself and my other brother decided we're going to do it. We're still single at that stage. And so I obviously prayerfully considered that because it was a massive faith step for me. And I had to make sure, you know, that it's God that's directing me. It's not an ambition or just a dream or an idea. So anyway, I got the idea. I got the confirmation from God. And now we're preparing. And I remember my dad spoke to me, to my youngest brother, just before we left on the plane. And he said to my dad, just ask Jaco to bring me a bottle of brandy, Klipdrift. You don't get them here in London. And I laughed about it. I said, that would be the day. I'll never bring you a brandy. I'd rather bring you a Bible. But I'm not bringing you any brandy from here. So anyway, you have to see in these contexts where he was living. He was just enjoying life. So long story short, we got there. And we just connected, you know, and we just start moving in. And I didn't know the full picture of why God sent me. There are many other things that took place there. But one of these things is we started building and realized his life is in such a mess. He's just using drugs. He's just enjoying it from club to club. And he's just doing it on Saturday nights and Sundays. He's just so drunk still. And oh, man. And so we would continue to invite him to come with us to church. And he would always just say, ah, you're a little snit. You just want to take me to your church. And no, all those normal things that you would often get. And what happened is, one day we continued to invite him. We just, you know, we as brothers obviously have another relationship that's deeper, but we just continue to love and love and love and just continue to invite him. One day he said, okay, I'll tell you what. You always want to take me with you to your church, which I've never done, but if you go with me to the club, then I'll go with you to church. I said, deal, done, seal. Okay, tonight I'll be with you. We go to your club. But just remember, just one deal. I don't drink with you the stuff that you drink. But I'll go with you. And I'll tell you what, it was a very unwanted place. Uncomfortable. In a place that I wouldn't normally go there. But you know, when the music plays and that boom, boom. When you feel like, God, this is not me anymore. I'm just, not that I've ever been. You have to understand. I grew up in Carisbrook, man. I don't know the kind of boom, boom you get there from the boom, boom in London. It's a bit different, you know. I'm just this little farm boy, I want to say. So it's so intimidating. But I know, God, I'm just going to hang in here and we're just going to have a good time in this club. Now, I'm not saying release all of you to just go into the club. Make sure the Holy Spirit sends you in there, not me. Just get a word from God first. Don't go out there. So we were having a good time there, responsibly, with water and I don't know what I drank, but it wasn't alcohol. Anyway. So, we left that night. He went to his house. And the next morning, we're getting ready for church. And I'm phoning him. Anyway, eventually he picks up his phone. And we manage to pick him up. And we're going to church. And he's still in the babalas. But that day, when the altar call was made with his babbles, and that's part of his testimony. Yes. Got up, walked to the front, gave his life to Christ. Yes. Today, my brother is with me in ministry and other church involved. He's planted his second church. The attendance is nearly more than 1,000 a week. Much bigger than what we hey, you don't know the power of one invitation. Amen. You don't know what's waiting on the other side of your obedience. Because we look at the one and say, God, don't underestimate what God can do in a person's life. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you this morning that God, that you are the God of so much more this morning. That God, that you continue to invite us in that place, Lord, that we often do not know the full detail, but you invite us to cross over with you. Maybe you sit in this audience this morning and you're experiencing that God is inviting you specifically in terms of a relationship. That Jesus is inviting you this morning to take him by hand and to walk with him. And I'm not talking about a journey. I'm talking about being in an intimate relationship. That you've been in religion. That you grew up in a place where maybe that you knew about Christ once, but you're not at that intimate place this morning. And that you want to settle things this morning. That you want to know that you know that if you walk out of this place, that irrespective of what might happen to you today or tomorrow, that your soul is in peace with God. That you know that you're in righteousness with God. That Christ has paid for your sin. That you accepted that offering and said, Lord Jesus, come and take the steering wheel. Lord Jesus, I give my life completely control over to you. If that's you, while you're sitting here, while nobody's looking around, I want you to give you, or I want to give you that opportunity this morning to raise your hand wherever you are and say, Yaku, pray with me. That's me. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. You're going to get the chance this morning just to set things right through invitation. Because I sense Christ says, cross over with me. Leave that old world. Leave that old life behind. There's something more waiting for you. While nobody's looking around, I just want you to quickly, wherever you are, slip up your hand and just say, Yaku, pray with me. That's me. That Christ is leading me to that place this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I sense there's one more person. You can lower your hands. There's one more person while every eye is closed that the Holy Spirit is ministering to this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning for what you're doing. I want to ask that if you raised your hand this morning, that you quickly come to the front. I'm going to pray with you. Maybe it's a rededication that you're doing, just saying, God, I just rededicate myself. Maybe you felt that you've backslided, that you've moved away from me. But if that's you that raised your hand this morning, quickly, we're not going to be shy about that. I want to pray for the rest of us, but we're not going to shy about the fact that we choose to follow Christ. Wherever you are, I saw your hands. I just want to ask you, let's just pray together. We want to help you. We want to pray with you. I'm just going to wait for a moment before I start praying. That's you. Thank you. I know it's something brave to do, but it's a decision that you will never regret. It's something that God has in your heart this morning that no man can describe. It's nothing. You can stand here with me. I think there were more people. I'm going to wait here. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. One more person. I know there's one more person. We're going to wait for you because you're special to Christ. Thank you. I just want you to pray with me while you're standing here in the front. The rest of us, let's keep our eyes closed. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I bow before you. I repent this morning of the sin and my brokenness. And I ask your forgiveness. And I ask you to cleanse me. I thank you this morning, Lord, for exchange that's taking place. The old is gone and the new has come. Father, I thank you for a new life in Christ. Father, I thank you for all these people this morning, Father, that's making a decision, that's saying, Lord, we want to recommit, Father, we want to commit ourselves, we want to dedicate my whole life unto you, Father. I thank you, Father, that we can speak over them. We speak a growth, a supernatural growth. I speak, Father, a radical obedience over their lives, Father. I pray, Lord Jesus, that today and from here onwards, Lord, that you will continue to stretch them, Father, beyond that place, Lord, that we feel, Lord, it is enough, Lord. Father, I pray that you will stretch into that place, Lord, that you know is enough, Father, to touch them in such a way that they will never be the same, Father. I thank you, Father, that you change their speech, you change their heart, Father, you change the fruit that would come forth out of their lives in Jesus' name. And Father, as we continue to pray, there's some of us this morning, maybe we've been on a journey, I just sense God says there are some of us, and we're just going to pray for you wherever you stand, is that some of you here this morning, and you've been on that journey, and God took you maybe to that unwanted person, or maybe you had an outcome and a response that you didn't see coming, and then in a way, you withdraw. And the Holy Spirit says, come with me. I want to take you on this journey again. Maybe just wherever you are, that you hear His voice this morning say, get with me into that boat. I want you, as a sign of your acknowledgement, just to stand wherever you are. And we're just going to pray a prayer of blessing as we continue to conclude this service. This morning, that God would lead you to those unwanted places, wherever you are. I just want you to stand as we close the service. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.